We are in this dunya, in this world, and we try, we attempt, we put in effort that somehow, in some way, that we can have a life of ease and comfort without any problems. There's probably nobody present who doesn't have this concept or thinking, especially in this day and age in the world. And then after having this thought, obviously to implement or fulfill this desire, a person tries, makes effort, we make plans, that what resources shall we use or implement so that the quality and status of our life can improve, good house, good car, and people respect us and look up to us, etc., etc., etc. And then for this, a person, he follows those means or plans or methods. So he's not thinking basics, that I just need enough food for twice a day, or enough clothes to wear, and something just to cover my head, a house. This concept has gone out of the window. Yeah, maybe somebody has this concept in his mind, the basics. We try to go to the heights, and then we want to attain that height, obviously. And then we go down the route to attain the heights. That what actions do I need to implement? What work shall I do? Which business shall I implement so I can become rich? What job should I have in which I can get the most salary and payment? Which profession shall I go into so I can earn maximum? And then a person jumps around from left to right. Let's go here, from this business to that business. And this is the routine of life that continues. And for this, Allah Ta'ala said that you will only get what is destined for you. You will only get what is destined for you. And for respect, Allah Ta'ala says, Izza man tasha wa tazillu man tasha. Allah says, in my hands and control, I can give respect to who I will, and I can take it from who I will. And Allah says that who is greater than Allah? And Allah Ta'ala has further said that those who are cautious and careful, they are the greatest in my sights. But we, in the dunya, in this world, we don't care about this. What we want is to increase our status, elevate our status. So this is the life that's in front of us. And this is the life that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Two contrasting scenarios, very open and clear scenarios. And there's a small message that Allah Ta'ala gives in the Quran with respect to this. Very valuable, small but valuable. That just like for attaining everything in the world, we might not get anything. That for example, I'll run after a job, I'll get more money, more salary. In this business, I'll get more money. And in this profession, I'll get more money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there's the dunya. And after this dunya, there's another dunya in which you have to come. And you have to come to me, Allah says. That's the genuine life forever. And Allah says the standard of that life is what? وَلِكُلِّ دَرَجَاتٍ, Allah says. With regards to actions, that dunya, after this life, forget the status here, image here, we need image there, status there. There are many levels, more than 100 levels. There is paradise, but within paradise there are levels of paradise, subhanAllah. Very many levels and heights, and the height of one level to the other level, you cannot compare. The distance between one level of paradise to another. Look at your finger, look at your fingers, yeah, and you can see the length, but the hereafter is a fact. If you look towards the hereafter, look at what we're going to attain. Allah says, look at what we're going to receive and concentrate and focus on that. Forget about looking here, left, right and everywhere for success. What examples we have that a person, he can be very high and lofty and rich, but where will he go? Into the grave. And what will come onto his face? Soilah, get away with you. You've died now. Off you go. And what happens? Whatever a person does in life, whatever he achieves, the dust and soil will come on his face. Even if a person is very wealthy and a child, somebody told me, and I was thinking for quite a long time, even until now I'm thinking, that there was a person who was sort of a big man in the world, in terms of ilm, the education, knowledge of the world. May Allah Ta'ala give him a high status. And then three Maulanas were present, and one Maulana told me the story, the event, what happened at the time of his death. He said at the time of death he was present there in Hindustan in India, and it was his final moments before he died. And in his final moments, he said, we three were waiting outside, the Maulana was saying, the Imam, and the doctor came out and said, he's died, he's passed away, he has gone to Allah, he has left this world. So the doctor went, he said that after a while we went inside into his room, and for some time they didn't let us go into the room, but we went into the room. Then what he said was very sad, and this is the reality of life. In a worldly sense he was high, may Allah give him Jannah. But he said on his body there were needle holes, and they just left him like that. We said, why don't you take these out? They said, oh, what's the point of taking these things out? He's died, he's going into the soil now. What's the point of taking these wires and needles? And you think we're going to sit down now, he's died, and we take the needles out of his body? And the injection sources, Allahu Akbar. Look at the status of man, what he was when he lived after death. Within a second, the dunya betrays and turns its face. And they didn't even have they couldn't even be bothered to take, you know, the syringes and the needles that were in his body for the medicine. They said, oh, forget it, just leave it in there. Why do we take them out now? He's died, wasting our time. Let's go and see another sick person. So they didn't have due care for the deceased person. This is the reality of life. How sad I felt when I heard this, that look at the life of a person a few moments before what he was, and after death what he becomes, and nobody cares. If only we can open the eyes of negligence and laziness. So Allah Ta'ala has told us this in the Quran, reminds us of this in the Quran, that this world is a temporary world and you're trying your best to make money and wealth and riches, and I want to become something. Allah says, be satisfied on what I've given to you. And just fill your stomach with that. Why do you fill up your treasure chests and your safes? What is the real, genuine objective? That the darajat of paradise, the levels of paradise. Allahu Akbar, Allah says, worry about those. Worry about those. There are such levels that you cannot even imagine. The Jannah, and then within Jannah, levels, many levels, levels within the levels, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala said this. And Allah says, you cannot even think, you cannot even imagine towards those points that what I'm about to give to you, Allah says, for this Jannah. When you get Jannah, what will you get? Why are you running around in a dream world and you're ignorant, Allah says. You're ignorant. وَلِكُلِّ دَرَجَاتٍ Allah says, all of these levels linked to your actions. Just like in this world, everything we want to attain and achieve and our ambitions, what will be the reason? Money. Money. How much is your salary? How much will we get paid for this? And in this business, what will be the net profit? What will I get from this? And how much will be left over from this? Mal, wealth. The end product discussion is money. So Allah says, the darajat in Jannah, paradise. What is the value of the levels in paradise? Amal, deeds. Here in the world, everyone is recognized by wealth, money. And in the hereafter, everybody will be recognized and given reward based on deeds, your levels, your darajat in the hereafter, going into paradise, after going into paradise, all the levels in paradise, everything you'll get in paradise, you'll need mal, you have to buy it in the hereafter. Allah says your mal will be your amal, your deeds that will elevate you in the hereafter in paradise, your amal. There's nothing else, no safarish, intermediaries, arbitration. Allah says, show your deeds and get the rewards. This is a hadith in it. Read the Quran and keep going high in paradise. Hafiz al-Quran. And the Hafiz of Quran who has got amal, who read the Quran in the night, who do amal on the verses when there's something haram, he thinks is haram, and he considers halal as halal. Those Hafiz al-Quran, for those people, Allah has promised that you, forget about you, your mother and father, they will have the crown on their heads, and the people will see the whole world and everything will be shining and glowing due to the crowns on the heads of your parents. Look at the maqam of the Hafiz. Yes, the grave cannot consume the Hafiz. The soil cannot decay the Hafiz. Allah has given the Quran to the Hafizin. May Allah Ta'ala give them amal. What is amal? Consider haram as haram, lawful as lawful, unlawful as lawful. The orders of Allah follow. Pray salah. How sad that Allah says that you have the ilm, the knowledge of Rasulullah in your heart, the Quran, from the du'as of your parents, their trying hard, their efforts, their du'as, their prayers. Allah puts Quran into your heart, and after that you play with the Quran. You play games with the Quran. You don't do dawr, you don't do revision. Many people forget the Quran. Forget the Quran. Oh, no, no. So people say, oh, Hafiz G's come, this Hafiz, he knows. But the Quran, which is such a great kitab, the Quran-e-Kareem, the every surah, chapter, if you start doing tafsir, the fazail, the virtues of the verses of the Quran, I will say that there's no pen that can write the tafsir. There's no paper that can have the ink on it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we can't even do tafsir of this. Bismillah, the ba in Bismillah, we can't do the commentary of it. It's so weighty and heavy and deep, and the noor of the Quran. If the Quran comes into your heart, amazing, monumental. And how sad in the Akhirah. And thereafter, the person will be said, keep on reading the Quran, go on your status. And the Quran won't finish and his levels won't finish. The Hafiz, who's memorized the Quran. Look at the rewards. Yes, and today we, alhamdulillah, at least memorize Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, Surah Sajda, Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah Muzammil, and Allah's Rahmah, that you will get the rewards of the Hafizin as well. There's no differentiation. Allah gives to whom He wants. So Allah Ta'ala says, at least remember the first 10 verses of the Quran. Make me, I want to become a Hafiz, and I want to be a Hafiz who does Amal. In those 10 verses, Allah has given the whole subject of the Deen. Do Amal on those 10 verses of the Quran. The first 10 verses. But we don't want to do nothing. Run after the dunya stories. You'll get this shop, this house, this business. Make your son this, make your daughter this. He's got to do this, she's got to do this. The tamasha and games of the dunya ask. And the world is evaporating like thin air. This Quran is reminding us of these facts. But what are you trying to do? What are you trying to get to in the world? That you won't get everything for free in the hereafter. The levels of paradise. And if you thought that, oh, just by chance, we think, oh, I'm doing a few things and that's enough. I pray 5 times a day, that's it. I can't do anything more. And for the dunya, all day and night, all life. One shop, will you be satisfied on one job, on salary? Tell me, will you be? No effect on anybody, no. No effect. Thus, even if you've got a profession, we won't stop there. That this is the hal of the dunya. Is there any bigger deception than this for a person in his mind? Tell me. That what a big deception. And if a person becomes ill, straight away he realizes that he's nothing. If right now I become ill, call the ambulance and the person's going to the ambulance, in the hospital he'll realize the reality of his life. That what is your genuine situation? At that time he'll lie down and regret, I made a mistake. I've wasted my time. And I should have just been satisfied 5 times, salah. I'm trying to fire the arrow on the bullseye. But in the hereafter, there are great, great levels, levels of paradise. What will you get from this world? Yes, Allah Ta'ala says there are many, many rewards and levels. Allah has given you amal and deeds, limitless, that we can do. Yes, and if we think now that me and you, we have so many treasures that Allah Ta'ala has given, that no moment in our life can pass, that we cannot elevate our status and levels in paradise for the hereafter in this world. I swear by Allah. Does Allah Ta'ala said it for nothing? That due to your deeds, I will give you high levels in paradise. Is Allah only given us 5 times salah? That we're just satisfied with this. If I pray, oh, that's enough. Oh, I can't do anything else. You start fussing. I've done enough today. Don't tell me. Oh, and if someone like me who's weak, who'll say, oh, I can't even pray this. Can't be bothered. We don't even have regard. Women, they miss their salah, make it qada, overdue. We make our salah qada. We don't even have a clue what's going on in the daytime. Yes, but Allah Ta'ala is saying that I've given you high darajat, the sign of the world. So look how many actions given you today. You've got this, you've got a house, mansion, 10 buildings, 16,000 assets, and he's a millionaire and money, etc. Allah says, this is dunya, but my dunya, the hereafter, Allah says, that you cannot imagine the vast expanse in that world. That so many things you can earn and achieve. Allah says, I've given you the means in this world you can earn for thereafter. But open your eyes for a small amount of time. Open your eyes and realize where you are and where you are going. But our eyes are closed. We have no fikr, no worry for anything. We have no care. We're going to pass away and go to thereafter. Allah says, open your eyes and realize where you are going. Allah Ta'ala has given us so many opportunities. If you want mal, for this world to succeed, then you need much more than that in the hereafter. Allah says you need amal for the hereafter. Amal, deeds. Allah says, with regards to the amal, ghafilin amma ya'malun. Allah says that your amal, your deeds that you will implement, I have prepared for you so you can do it systematically. Don't think that Allah Ta'ala has not given you a system in life. Allah says, I've given you a beautiful system. Allah says, I've got accountants. People who record every single second of your life. Allah says every second thought, action, good deed, I will wrap it, seal it, protect it. My angels are there who are working on this. They are recording your deeds and sayings and actions. Do you know this? Allah says, I've established a beautiful recording system. Don't think your Rabb is ghafil, ignorant, that Allah doesn't know about us. Allah says, no, the hisab for you in the hereafter, you will have forgotten your deeds, the good deeds you did, and I will remind you in the hereafter. Allah says, I'll remind you what you did. Your decision will have been made that send him to the left, Jahannam. And Allah says, I'll call you from the door of Jahannam. My hisab is so beautiful, outwardly, unknowingly and knowingly. Allah Ta'ala says, carry on working. Do good deeds. Take hold of the straight line with firmness and make a program in your life from morning till night. I'm going to do this task. Walking, talking, sitting. I'm going to do this. Even if I'm lazy, I'm going to plow on. Work hard. Because Allah says, I've given you an order. You should do that. And the order in the hereafter will be given. Take him to Jahannam. And Allah will call him back. Angels say, Allah, he's been destined for Jahannam. Allah says, no, call him back from the door of Jahannam. Allah, you decided. Allah says, yes, it was decided, but I'm reminding you of an action you did in the world on this day, on this hour, in this second. You did a good deed. He'll say, Allah, I forgot. But Allah says, Allah will say, I like that deed of yours. Oh, angels, send him into paradise. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. But we need to pay attention, focus, determination. We're alive here for the hereafter or for this world? Yes, turn your thinking. I swear by Allah, will succeed immensely. Mentally, thinking, thought process, focus. Shaitan says, do this sin. Allah says, flip your thinking. I have to do this amal. You're not even doing amal. If I open my eyes, I wake up, I'll read one juz of Quran, I'll do dhikr, I'll go to the gathering of dhikr, I'll listen 5 minutes, then I'll drink tea, I'll have a break, then I'll do another good action, then I'll read 2 verses of the Quran, then this tafsir, I'll read this. Okay, I'm sitting out, I'll do some tasbih. Make a system in your life, even if you're not doing, but because of your intention, it's churning out the reward. Train of thought, thinking, ideology, mentality. If you go, oh, I'm going to watch this program, take this news out, then do this. Then I'll go to the computer, I'll see how much market profit, I'll look for this and look for the business. And if like the air, it will evaporate. And Salah, you have to pray. Quickly, I'll do wudu. Where I can pray, I'll just pray where I have a bit of space. Shaitan will satisfy me, I prayed wherever I am. And I think I'm going to get Jannah from this. No way. Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared for you systems. And you think that there's nothing for you to do? That you ain't got time, you're bored? Allah draws out the sketch of life. Allah gives very clear detail in the Quran. That your ears, and your eyesight, and your body, your skin, all of these, they won't become yours. And thereafter, they won't be yours, they'll be mine. Allah says, when we'll get to the court of Allah, your ears, your eyes, your skin. Allah says, they will turn to me. They will recognize me and I will ask them, tell me, what did this man do? Eyes, tell me, what did this man do? Testify. The eyes, Allah will say, bring the witness, and the witness will come from your body. So our bodies will testify to the good and bad, and the man will be shocked and amazed. Then the scholars, for example, read the Quran. I'm giving you tafsir of the Quran, commentary of the Quran. So the man, he will stand there, say, huh? You say, you are disrespectful all life long for your benefit. Listen up, you say, I'm doing it for the kids. When the kids get disobedient, look, for the sake of my children, I did this. I served them. And now he's done this or she's done this. And our children, we're unhappy, isn't it? And they are awlad, ghair. But our own body, the eyes and ears and skin, when it testifies against us, Allah said in the Quran, that we'll say, oh, you disrespectful parts of my body, organs, limbs. They say, oh, get away from you. We don't know you. We were Allah's in the world and we are Allah's today as well. Our organs will say this. We just had a duty to be attached to you, your body. Did you ever think at that time in the world that we were going to testify against you? Even then we were from Allah and even now we're from Allah. And now you're seeing us speak, you foolish person. This is Allah Rabbul Alameen. You stood in front of him. This is Allah. Rabbul Alameen makes stone speak. So you think Allah said, Kunam, we start to speak. Our ears and eyes and skin will do this. Is there anything in the world that Allah Ta'ala cannot make come alive within a second? Is anyone more powerful than Allah? No. Everything is possible. Is there anything? Then we say, Naudhu billah, Allah, I'm forced to do this. Oh, I have to do this. Allah says, I can make the stone speak. The air can speak. Our body, what's this? It can speak. Allah will say, speak. What did this person do? And then the body will speak. Oh, he was good, Allah. He was pious. He was never ignorant. He never left ibadah. He never left salah, Allah. He never did the sin. He never did bad actions in the night. He didn't do wrong actions, dirty actions. He was worried about his akhirah. Who is telling us this? Our thinking, our eyes, our ears. He never, Allah saw a ghayr mahram man or woman. Never. Never did he do this. His eyes never lifted towards haram. When he read Quran, on every verse he tried to practice. Allah will say, subhanAllah. What witnesses we've got here. His limbs and his organs. And the Quran said, these will be the witnesses. Allah has told us clearly in the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala has prepared all of the methods to recognize our good deeds. The reason for saying this, Allah says, is don't worry. You carry on doing your deeds. They're being collated, gathered for your hereafter benefit. Don't worry. I will remind you, no time is being wasted. Just carry on practicing, carrying on doing good deeds. Yes, Allah Ta'ala said, carry on with the fadl and the grace and blessings of Allah. So brothers, the reason of all of what we're discussing, that I've said all of this for my benefit, the reason and the meaning is that we need to come out of laziness, ignorance, and do amal, deeds, practice. Less money, less worry for the world, and more worry for the hereafter. Here we should be satisfied, and there we should be greedy in the hereafter. Greedy. We should be greedy, running after the rewards of the hereafter. Haris all the time. Keep on working hard for the hereafter. Keep on working after for hereafter. And for the world, that's enough. Shukr to Allah, I'm getting, and that's enough. Yes, I've got one house, that's enough. Don't run here. Then jump to this side. Then run to the right side. Yes, keep jumping. Are we trying to get to the heavens when we jump? I can't understand. We're sat here, that's fine, just work away. You've got a prayer mat in the room if you sleep there. You don't even realize in the morning when you get up, you're fresh. Even if you lie down on the prayer mat. Yes, even my prayer mat comes very difficult into my room. Even to get out, I have to spread the legs out just coming out of the door. There's that much space, not much space. I'm telling you the truth. Not that I'm pious, etc. But a person shouldn't worry. What am I going to do with more space, more square yards, etc.? That's it, enough. And a person like me who's sinful can do this. Then you are pious, be satisfied. Content. With difficulty, thus we can spread out the prayer mat in the room. It is difficult to walk across the room. There's so less space. There's not enough space to get out of the door, out of the room. You have to spread. There's not even enough room to spread the legs out. If we keep on working out, keep on working out. If you have a bigger room, bigger house, you have to clean it more. You have to do more things just to maintain the house or not. I'll tell you one day, come and have a look at my room if you want. What is it? What's the side? And then if you come in and tell me you can't even go into the room, they're so tight. Yeah? You can't even open the legs out fully. So my brothers, we need to elevate the hereafter. SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says that sometimes a person does such amal that I show him Jannah in the world, paradise in the world, SubhanAllah. That Allah Ta'ala says, okay, fine, he's now become solid and strong and he's going to get paradise guaranteed. So let's show him Jannah in the world whilst he's living. Isn't it? In the hadith it's stated. In the hadith. That this dunya, detach your heart from the world. This is a temporary world. We are living the life of laziness. Look, think today how much life, time we have wasted. That how much have we earned for the world or tried, and how much have we earned for the after? Five times Salah is enough? That's it? Is this how our darajat will be elevated? Tell me. Is this how our darajat will be elevated? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated. And these hadith have been recorded that I'm presenting at your service, and you read these hadith in Fazal Imal Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah has recorded these. We hear these, we read these, you hear these in Talim. Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that first and foremost, now look at the amal, the deeds. Look and understand. Just like I said, in the dunya, we select where can I get money quickly? From this job, I'll go to this job. Will I get from this profession? I'll go to that profession. From this business. So Allah Ta'ala says, then choose and select your amal. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. That there are many amal deeds you can do. So Allah says, according to your capacity, become brave and greedy. Become a proper human being. Don't be content on small deeds. Rather seek out and choose the big deeds. Just like you look for a big job, big salary, fat pay packet. Allah says, you the same way look for the big amal, the fat amal, that will give you bigger rewards. Not just fold your hands, say, don't know, I've read half juz today, that's enough, I'm retiring now. No, Allah says, I've given you thousands of deeds. Search them, select them, practice them. And the best way of selecting deeds, go to the Qabirin, Salaf al-Salihin, see what are they doing. Quietly go towards them, look at them, say subhanAllah, because they are greedy for their after. Definitely they'll be doing an action that will give them the best. Well, let's go into the company of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah, ask him, what amal did you do? He wrote books upon books. Hazrat, when he used to wake up, he did this. Hazrat did this, he did this during the day. This was my habit when I went to Hazrat Sahib. Dunya was sitting doing this X, Y, Z, and today I've got protected, and even every day I read a little. I bought a, what was it, diary, writing notepad, and I took a pen and I used to sit and I used to be behind Hazrat Sahib, and every action I would write and record what was Hazrat Sahib doing. Every action, Hazrat Sahib read this tasbih, did this in the morning, he had this kitab, he told us he studied this kitab, at this time he did this, how long was his sajda, after sajda how long did he sit, and then what did he do. I knew that this is a person greedy and wanting thereafter. Every deed of his would be a deed that elevates a man. Subhanallah. SubhanAllah. So a normal person, if you go to his majlis and a wali Allah's majlis, then if you're hadith greedy, you will look out for. And look here, as a Shaykh al-Hadith, his malfuzat, if you look at what's been written, and if you read about his life, imagine his life, those who sat with him, what will be their hal? There are two types of people. One of those who play games, they just spend the time in the company of the Shaykh, we come to dhikr, we do dhikr for a little while, go. And those who come, and they seriously take dhikr, why have I come? Why has Allah sent me? What's the meaning of this? What does Allah Ta'ala want from me? First and foremost, the serious individual, in such a big majlis, coming to such a great gathering, that where am I? And look at this nurani, enlightened gathering, night of Jummah, Rabiul Awwal, and such a month, that in this month, one moment, one second is such, that the whole universe is, there's no greater second in the universe than that second, in this month. Such a great and momentous second until Qiyamah, such a moment it cannot come. Rather, consider that that moment in this month, the barakah, the rahmah, the mercy, the fadl, due to that we are existing in the world today, and why the world is existing in this month, Rabiul Awwal. So in that month, in the night of Jummah, about which it stated that the night of Jummah, when it starts after Maghrib, Jummah starts after Maghrib on Thursday evening, 24 hours sit with the Wali Allah, Shaykh, on the night of Jummah, on the day of Jummah, and look at their ma'mulat, their actions. Why? Why? In these 24 hours, whatever deed you will do, it will increase 70 times in the reward level. 70 times. And the person who knows, I want to elevate my status, will he leave the actions on Jummah? The night of Jummah, will he speak nonsense, do rubbish deeds? Will he be satisfied on just a few salahs? And if he knows that I've got 24 hours, that maybe I won't get it next week. He's very careful that people of the world, it's Christmas time, sales increase, volume, stock, turnover, revenue. People do that in the world, isn't it? When a chance comes to make more money, a person becomes very alert and active. So those who are greedy for their after, the walis of Allah, the mashayikh, they know it's 24 hours. Thursday night to Friday night, I'm going to get 70 times more reward. Do this action, that action. Okay, I've got 24 hours. What difference does it make? Less sleep. We'll work hard. And doing this. And imagine how much they elevate their status in that time. And we say, oh no, half juice, little bit of tasbih. This is not enough, my friends. Allah Ta'ala says that select the deeds and select such amal in your life, those deeds that magnify and increase your status in the hereafter to the maximum. So what are those deeds that will magnify and increase the levels? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us. Who? Imamul Anbiya, the Amir of the Prophets, is telling us himself. Will we all do this? Inshallah. Say loudly, Inshallah. Inshallah. Right. And those deeds that Allah Ta'ala has told, look at Allah's rahmah and mercy. How easy. The more easier the deed is, the more it increases levels. Not difficult amal. Allah has given us simple deeds that will give us the highest levels in the hereafter. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the first and foremost. Now imagine from this statement. Imagine. First and foremost, those men and women who will be given the permission to go into Jannah, they'll be called. First and foremost, those men and women come. Imagine who those people will be. What action did they do? What amal did they do? Let's really listen clearly to this. The first group of people, men and women, will be called. They'll be called first. Come. Those men and women, females, males will be, those people will be called into paradise. Those people in the world, whether they were sad or happy, difficulty or ease, in every condition they did the dhikr of Allah all the time, whatever their life condition was. SubhanAllah. And this is Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah written in the hadith. We read his kitab every day. What a great message. So have we got the amal now? the greatest amal. So the first groups of people will come first, come first served, isn't it, in English? Whoever comes first, he will be get the service first. So imagine his darajat or her darajat. Imagine their reception, their entry, their welcoming. They will be the VIPs who are going to Jannah first. And the hars, the necklaces on their heads, don't even ask. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What was the amal? Difficulty, ease, happiness, wedding, cold, summer, hot, whatever the condition. Celebration, no celebration, but they came and sat in the dhikr of Allah and they will be welcomed first into paradise. One brother, a friend of mine, asked, MashaAllah, I see you in dhikr. He says, it's been 6 months. Have you seen me now? He said, I've been coming 6 months. Yeah, look at his istiqamah. He's regular now. He reminded me. Who gives us Allah's karam and mercy? So the person who adheres to his amal, he says, I have to do dhikr, I need to stick to this. And he selects an amal, an action. He takes hold of that amal and he sticks to it, adheres to it, inshallah. And so easy. One sahabi was asked, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, Ya Rasulullah, I don't understand that dhikr you've praised and explained. It's such an easy deed. Listen, it's such a simple deed to implement and so quickly it can be done and it gives so high rewards and levels that why don't people do dhikr? Say, subhanallah. This is the state, situation today, isn't it? This is our situation. It's such an easy amal. Why don't we do dhikr then? Simple, no effort, no physical effort. Rasulullah, what was his reply? That on their hearts, when shaitan sticks to their hearts, then he makes them lazy. So what we realize is that those who don't do dhikr, who are lazy, who don't want to do dhikr, then Rasulullah told us their disease. Shaitan has overwhelmed their hearts. And they try, shaitan drags them back again. And this is the hadith, that their hal is such that even when they go to sleep, then shaitan, he doesn't let them recite the verses or du'as. He puts their hand on their neck and go to sleep. Don't recite anything. Don't do dhikr of Allah. Don't remember Allah. And he just wipes the hand on them. Quickly go to sleep. Quickly go to sleep. And start snoring. And he says that the time after salah, shaitan, he reminds them of something in the dunya. That you have to do this, you have to do that. Suddenly, pray salah, shoot off. Not this, sit down, do maraqabah for a few minutes, do dhikr of Allah. These are words of hadith. So when these two emotions you feel after salah, you want to run off. Or at night time, you quickly dive onto the mattress, do a bit of dhikr and sleep. You don't feel like you're quickly going to the bed under the sheets and you chit-chat. Then consider, I've told you this hadith, that shaitan has overwhelmed you, overpowered you. Open your eyes. I'm going to say, no, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to do a little bit of dhikr and then sleep. Or do a bit of dhikr after salah. 3 minutes of maraqabah, I'm going to do 5 minutes of maraqabah, I'm going to do. Close your eyes, do a bit of maraqabah, do dua, then leave. Then leave. This is the meaning of the hadith. So what great, great guidance that Rasulullah has told us, that in my ummah, in the hands of the ummati, the whole world will come. All of the dunya will come. Everything of the world and what it contains. All of the world and what it contains is placed into the hand of the mu'min. And then that ummati says, once subhanallah is stated, his subhanallah, he will get more than all of the world and what it contains, even if that's in his hand. So did it take long to say subhanallah? No, it's such a small deed, short in time span, but elevates you to the highest. The whole world and what it contains is better than that, but only that person gets tawfiq. So think today, make intention. How many times have you said subhanallah today? How many times? Tell me. How many times? Aren't we lazy? Aren't we extremely lazy? That's why we're sitting here and discussing. Make a program of life. Schedule targets. How long we spend counting money, notes. We lose sleep running the business. But subhanallah, nobody cares to sit down. Tasbih of subhanallah. With ease after praying salah, do a tasbih of subhanallah. Relax. Aren't we lazy? We're so lazy. We can't even think about it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, I'm talking about this amal with you. That when an individual, once says takbir, once, he's doing a live dhikr, once, does takbir. What is that? Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What do you get? That when the person says Allahu Akbar, then the noor of the Allahu Akbar is just recited from his mouth. It covers the whole space between the heavens and the earth. Amen. Imagine, this is the life to make benefits for your after friends. Doesn't matter if you're sick, your head is pounding, headache. You can keep on saying, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Can't you be so, oh, I'm dying, oh, I'm sick, I can't do anything. You know, reciting the Quran, because in your life you never tried, you couldn't be bothered. So today if you're healthy and you went to the gatherings of dhikr, you did dhikr and had dhikr, then today on the lips of the sick person recite the kalima, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. But you can't be bothered. So what beautiful, he'll be ill, but he'll recite these lafaz, even these words he recites while he's sick, and he dies, he'll take the noor into the hereafter, transferred to the hereafter. But we're lazy, extremely lazy. What a life we're living today. Lazy life. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that various times, I'm telling you the meaning of the hadith, that from the arsh, an announcement comes. You understand the arsh? Allah's throne. From the arsh comes an announcement, clear. And you know, for example, when you speak slowly, 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 and you hear the humming, the sort of the humming noise, something moving. Someone asks, what is this? What's this humming noise? It's coming from these sounds coming from the arsh. What are these sounds? And instead, this is Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah akbar. These are the sounds of those kalimats for those people that these sounds are coming. For those people who recited these kalimat. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah akbar. Every day there's a majlis in the morning. We recite this, don't we? Say alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah's mercy. We do this, don't we? How many people come to the gathering in the morning? Yes, we play games, but we don't want to come. We hear, but we don't want to come. We're lazy. We will recite this now, won't we, after the discussion? Every morning and evening with the fadl and karam, grace and mercy and blessings of Allah gives us the tawfiq capability. We recite these verses every day. But we run away. I got time. I don't care why or what drama's on the screen. Oh, Peer Sahab sitting. What's he doing? This is Peer Bazi and his murids, and they kiss his hands. They prostrate to him. Astaghfirullah. In a variation, people say this and that. I ask you, O servants of Allah, understand the meaning. What do we recite? Pure verses, such verses, Allah said that you are looting the treasures of paradise. What is this time? Three hadith, I'll tell you three. I won't tell you small things. You won't be minor individuals if you do this. You won't be minor individuals. There won't be people born in the universe. First and foremost, Hazrat Abu Huraira. I won't give you minor references. Great references, Hazrat Abu Huraira. What a great companion. What hadith recorded. He was a lover, ashik, how he spent the time of his life. And he was stuck, a dead, super glued to the Prophet, the muhaddithin, the ulama akram, the great scholars will tell you. The hadith, the amount of hadith Hazrat Abu Huraira recorded, imagine, nobody compares. And he said, Rasulullah, whatever I hear from you or see, I forget. Nabi says, then come to me. This is link, love between the sheikh and the murid. Yes, all the sahaba, they're all students. And every sahabi at a unique level. So Hazrat Abu Huraira, Rasulullah said, come, spread out your cloth. And then Nabi Sallam gathered his cloth. And subhanAllah, what was on his body? On his cloth, there were ants, maybe insects. Nabi Sallam said, spread your cloth out. Rasulullah took that cloth and he said, take it back and embrace it with your chest. He said, after that, until today, whatever Nabi Sallam said, it came into my heart and I would memorize it word by word. So did he ever need to elevate his rank and status in paradise? I'm a sahabi, I'm forgiven, I'm famous, I have no need to do dhikr. Imagine, listen to his hadith. As Abu Huraira radun, and then compare to yourself. If a little bit of a wind comes, I'm this and I've done that, I don't need to do this amal. I'd pray, I'm doing other things, I don't need to do dhikr. Don't tell me to do dhikr. Don't tell me to do dhikr. I'm pious, I do other many things. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu states, hadith, Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi has narrated this hadith that Hazrat Abu Huraira, he had a container or a bag, maybe out of cloth or maybe made out of leather or something, out of straw, and he had date stones and stones in his bag. Say subhanallah. Yes? And it wasn't like he didn't have money. He said, we don't need money. He was worried about the levels of the hereafter, rewards of the hereafter. Say subhanallah. And in that bag were stones and date stones. These contain the levels of the hereafter. And what was his amal? His action? And we run away from this amal. And Allah has made this deed here regular. What was his amal? That as soon as Fajr Salah would be complete, he would take out his stones and spread them out. Say subhanallah. And he'd start doing dhikr of Allah by moving the stones from one position to the other. And when those stones would finish, the count would finish, then from the bag. He would count, he'd count. Then he had somebody working for him. She would come, she'd pick up all the stones. The stones were in the bag. Then he'd start doing the dhikr again. Allah, Allah again. Counting again. Has Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, have you heard his name? Great muhaddith, great sahabi, great companion. What did he do? Soon as Fajr Salah finished, he would take and spread out his leather cloth, and he had the day stones and stones. He'd spread them out and start doing dhikr of Allah until the sunrise. Sunrise. Just as Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, great names, I'm telling you. Who is he? He was pure. He was pure. And he was an ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what a great, great ashik. And what was his duty? What was his action? Soon as Fajr would finish, alhamdulillah, he would spread out a cloth and the daystone stones would come into his cloth. And after that, he was so immersed in the dhikr of Allah, he didn't even know that Zawal time had come. Zawal. Why? He was asked that, Hazrat, what are you doing? Work, do something, work in the world, think, you're not doing anything. He knew that there's nothing. After some days, Abu Sufyan is going to pass away. My darajat will be increased and my face on the day of resurrection will shine like the moon on the 14th night. And people ask, is he shaheed? Is he a Nabi, prophet? Who is this? And the answer will come, he's nothing of the sort. He is the dhakir who remembered Allah. Tell me, what great individuals, great personalities. Shall give you more examples, such Sahaba Ikram, alhamdulillah. As Umar radiallahu anhu, great Sahabi, great companion. Another Sahabi, I can't remember his name, I think it was Hazrat Abu Darda. And what is the amal? They're in the marketplace. And he said, come, leave this, what you're doing, let's revive our iman. He said, how do you revive your iman? Come with me, close your eyes, sit down, let's do maraqbah, let's remember Allah for a few minutes. He said, I've done this, then he went to the court of Nabi Sam, that my sake, he said, come and let's revive our iman. Rasul Sam said, he said, the right thing, the action you've done, every second it revives your iman, increases your iman, it lifts your iman. We said, we don't need to do it. I don't need to do this. And how easy, how simple, how much Allah Ta'ala loves this action. Why does Allah want to do this action? Do so much dhikr in abundance, high amount, kathir, while you're walking, while you're sleeping, while you're sitting. Why? For this reason, because Allah Ta'ala said that I have given you more than 100 levels in Jannah. And there are more levels than this. And how will you get these darajat? Due to amal, due to deeds. Like this verse I've just recited in front of you. This explanation. That due to deeds your levels will be raised and elevated. Allah says, I've selected for you, do my dhikr. Because my dhikr is such an easy action, so simple. Even when you're sleeping, you'll be doing dhikr and your levels will be increasing in the hereafter. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah says, how? I'll make it more easy for you. You won't need to move your tongue. You won't need to move your hands. You won't need to move your face, your mouth or your lips. You don't need to recite kalama. Allah says, just remember me in your hearts. Just start doing my dhikr in your hearts. Just lower your head a little bit and concentrate on your heart, and that's it. Allah says, most easy, the person whose heart becomes alive, and the person in his heart ism-e-zat comes, then even during sleeping, he's a dhakir with the fadl of Allah. For him, waking and sleeping becomes the same. Becomes the same. Sleeping and awake states are the same because he's immersed in dhikr in both states. And the final point has a Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah radiyallahu anhu. The walis of Allah, I'll tell you what were their deeds. What deed he selected? Somebody asked by chance, Hazrat, you got a lot of tasbihs in your hand. What's the point? Why do you do this? You're Sayyidul Taifa. You're a great sheikh. And Hazrat replied that Junaid, he spoke about himself that Junaid, he swears by Allah, he makes Allah his witness that I've got one desire, subhanallah. One desire. Junaid said, I have one simple desire. I swear by Allah, Junaid said. What is that desire? That my heart, my tongue, my hands, my body, every single part of my body should continue to do the dhikr of Allah. This is my desire. This is my desire. So my brothers, this is Allah's great mercy on us, Allah's blessings on us. That here in the masjid, Allah Ta'ala has initiated this majlis of dhikr. Not just do it on Thursday night. Don't be Thursday night people. Do dhikr morning and evening. We'll cry tomorrow. I got free this opportunity, and tomorrow's Jummah. Tomorrow, pray Fajr here, sit down, do Maraqabah till Ishraq, sunrise, and recite the Kalimat of Dhikr after doing Dhikr, Alhamdulillah. Pray 2 rakat Salah, Ishraq after that. What will you get? It's announced. Whoever does this deed after Fajr, Dhikr to Ishraq, you'll get reward of 1 Hajj and 1 Umrah. Accepted. Allah says, not one. This is Jummah. 70 times increased Hajj. 70 times Hajj reward on Jummah. And those who are fikr of the akhirah, will he sleep in the night? Say, oh, it's Jummah. I've got to do this on Jummah. I might not get next Jummah. Let me get the rules on one Jummah. 70 Hajj and 70 Umrah. Do Fajr, Salah, Dhikr, till sunrise, Ishraq. And 70 times Hajj and Umrah. But Shaitan will call us, no, leave this. Oh, Fajr was enough. That's it. Jump into bed now. And he'll make us sleep. Never lose hope for the hereafter. Never lose courage and determination. Increase it. This life is a deception. Dunya is a solid deception. Whatever you're going to earn now, tomorrow I might not be healthy. You might not be healthy. What situation will be in? Make niyyah today. As long as I've got health, Allah gives me permission. My eyes and hands and heart, everything will stay alive with the dhikr of Allah. That's it. May Allah make us all true and solid and regular dhakir. Ameen.